Hello, welcome to Can You Get to That? I am your co-host, Caitlin Best.
I am co-host number two, Matthew Olson. Hello. Hi.
What's up, Matt?
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. Just, you know, living it up out here. Here in the big apple. We just upgraded.
The biggest apple.
Not the biggest.
Would you say it's not the biggest?
It's two bigs.
What's the biggest apple?
You ever seen the movie James and the Giant Peach?
Yeah, I'm familiar. That's now that's a peach.
I'll leave it at this. There's a giant peach. It stands to reason there might be a giant apple out there, does it not?
Yeah, that's true. And I guess a real giant apple would count for more than a metaphorical apple.
Yeah. Now, Caitlin, you're doing something funky on your end. You're on the twitter.com.
Yeah, I was trying to find a bit of news that I saw earlier. I don't know if it's going to happen, though.
You just don't know? You just don't know if this bit's going to happen?
I don't know if I can find it. It was in my TL, you know, but my TL is so crowded with just people yelling about the DNC and just the DNC, really.
Mm-hmm. That's what's happening this week.
Yeah, that's what's happening in this week, and it's not going to happen.
What
they discovered
the
a new
news?
Whale.
Oh,
they discovered
yes.
a new whale. You hear about this?
I did hear this piece of fucking hot off the presses. Cetacean. Is that how you say it?
Cetacean?
Cetacean?
I think.
This whaley news. We'll just keep it at whaley.
We'll keep it at whaley. And you know what I read? It's a type of beaked whale. Which is sort of like, it's sort of like a cross between a dolphin and like a normal whale. You know, like sperm whales have like teeth, but they're like really big. And then dolphins are like small and cute and make like chirping noises.
Roughly, yeah, okay.
Uh-huh. So a beaked whale, if you could sort of picture like halfway in between those two extremes, is what they discovered. And it said in the article that the beaked whale is a very mysterious creature.
Do they mean they don't know much about it, or that they've like had many encounters with beaked whales, but they're kind of shady? They're slow to warm up to you. They don't really let you in and let you know.
I think it's that. I think they've met humans before, and they sort of will swim up alongside you and just like wink and then dive back down into the depths.
That sounds very mysterious.
It's pretty fucking mysterious.
Well, good news for whales. You're not all gone yet. You know, that reassuring to the whale population.
Yeah.
We've been trying our best, you know, to really just give you the what for and get rid of your thin your ranks, really.
Yes, but they're still hanging in there, aren't they?
Yeah, humanity has not focused up and got the job done.
We probably have at least one whale listener, wouldn't you say?
Don't know how I'd find the stats on that. They'd have to come forward. I'm basically daring any whale listeners to come forward right now by talking about a campaign of extermination.
If you download our podcast in like the middle of the ocean, where does it say that you're getting it from? You know how we have stats on like all the countries?
Yeah, that's a great fucking question. I'm assuming that our host, I was about to say gracious host, but we pay them money. So
I don't know. Gracious about that relationship.
They haven't kicked us off the service. So anyway,
nice.
We pay Simplecast to host the podcast, and I assume that their process for determining the location of listeners is by way of the IP address that the downloads are coming from.
Yeah.
And I feel like you could solve this question, Caitlin, by maybe doing a quick Google search. What's your IP address in the ocean? Like, where...
I'm going to do that.
Where does your IP say you're located if, say, you're just smack dab in the middle of the Atlantic? Like...
This Google search is fucking useless. This isn't... The internet doesn't know.
Huh. Weird. Maybe it's a great mystery of life.
I Googled, what's your IP address in the ocean? And there's nothing.
You should maybe we should try a different service other than just a Google
other
search
than
for that.
Like a Bing search, maybe?
A Bing search is definitely not gonna do it. If there's one like conglomerate that doesn't want you to know what your ocean IP address is, it's Microsoft slash Yahoo, not Yoohoo, the chocolate drink.
Although, Matt, I don't know, maybe you're onto something.
Maybe you a big Yoohoo conspiracy.
You ever type into Bing, like, bring me hot chocolate now, or like, I want hot chocolate?
And it's like, how about a cool, refreshing chocolate drink instead?
All like, Yoohoo.
It autocorrects.
Yeah.
Caitlin, I dare you to find a good way to segue between whale and chocolate drink conspiracies to the topic that was provided, I will say, graciously by our friend Cody Melcher this week.
Definitely gracious. Thank you, Cody. Let me hit you with this. Did you know that the ancient Maya, they took their hot chocolate spicy? Did you
this
know that?
This is nice.
Yet?
This is fucking... You just killed
good,
it.
Right?
You just killed it. Holy shit.
Yeah, I nailed it.
Wow.
Did you know? You ever tried spicy hot chocolate?
I have tried spicy hot chocolate. It's, I feel like I tried it in Portland. I can't remember where.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been something on the menu at like Stump Town.
Yeah, I could see that.
The baristas there will do you up a hot chocolate, I think. And maybe one day they were like, hey, let's make it funky.
Yeah.
Let's add some fucking pepper flakes or whatever. Chili to it. And it's good. It's good if it's done right. If it's not just like a hot mess in your mouth.
If it's not, for example, just a cup of hot chocolate with hot sauce in it.
Yeah, that'd be kind of, well, it might still be flavorful, but it would definitely be gross. It'd
be different.
Grossly flavorful.
Yeah. yeah, you could say that.
Before we move on and get the show rolling, do you agree with me that, like, on average, one out of every three things that's made to be spicy
mm-hmm.
is just like it's just the sensation of like the capsaicin or whatever. It's just hot in your mouth and it obliterates whatever like the spice flavor could add to the thing itself.
What was the number you gave? 1 in 3?
1 in 3. So maybe like. You know, you'll try 2 spicy chips and you'll be like, those are good. And then you'll get the one, you'll accidentally pick up the bag of like Doritos face melters.
Mm.
And you're like, I'm looking forward to having some molten hot cheese flavor in my mouth. And then you're basically just shoving little cardboard pain triangles into your face with no discernible flavor, but they make you sweat like one out of three.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I experienced the world as in as spicy a way as you do, but I will say that I think a lot of hot sauces are just sort of like vinegar plus spicy. And I think that people are sort of conditioned to experience the taste of vinegar as the taste of hot sauce.
What do you think the main perpetrator of this is? Like, what's the biggest hot sauce out there that you think is just hot vinegar water?
Well, definitely Tabasco.
I knew you were going to say it. You think there's no pepper taste to that at all?
It's just hot and sour, which is, I mean, it's a thing. That's a thing, you know?
I like the green. The green
I do like
nice.
The green Tabasco, and I like the Chipotle Tabasco.
That's good stuff, too. Mm-hmm. But the regular? No, thank
just,
you.
It's just hot sour juice.
They should just rebrand it as such. Be honest. You might attract a wider audience that way. All right, let's get going. And wait, before we go, let's pray.
Yeah, we're gonna pray.
Let's come together, Caitlin, and pray.
We've never done this before.
We've never done this before, but we've had some rotten luck recently.
That's true.
Let's open.
Thanks to Brian. Thanks to our friend Brian.
I wouldn't say it was Brian's fault, unless he put a hex on us or something. But it had nothing to do with the topic he gave us. We've had some rotten luck before last week, too. let's open up our energies to the universe.
Okay.
And send the message that we don't want to land on a sports stub.
Okay.
As our first step.
So should I try to not picture a sports stub, or should I try to picture a specific other thing?
Let's both clear our minds entirely, and then when you sense that my mind is clear and your mind is clear, and that's the only thing that you're sensing, just click the pad of your laptop. Okay. Wow.
Cappy Ricks.
Step one, Cappy Ricks. It's not a sports sub. It worked.
Is a 1921 American silent adventure film directed by Tom Foreman and written by Peter B. Kine and all these fucking other people. Its survival status is classified as unknown, which suggests that it is a lost film.
That's wild. Yeah, it was just... Wow.
I've never heard of a lost film.
I mean, there's got to be plenty. Like, a lot of old... Like, the oldest television no longer exists.
For sure,
because
yeah.
They would just scrap or, like, reuse. They wouldn't reuse film. You couldn't reshoot film. But, say, if they... Like video, they could retape videos, and mm-hmm. videos were more expensive, so sometimes yeah. they would like tape over old shows,
right?
Or they would just go, hey, you know, for other concerns, let's scrap these film reels and keep the inventory
yeah.
like low, because no one's ever gonna want to go see this old program,
right? Like, or sometimes the film just got moldy, you know, because they didn't really oh, yeah. know how to preserve it back then.
Yeah, it's crazy how film, like, degrades. You would think yeah. that something that's the result of, like, an industrial process wouldn't get all fucking, like, bubbly and gross looking,
yeah.
you know, left in the sun. But I guess it makes sense. Chemical process and stuff.
Well, I mean, it's a petroleum product. And what is a petroleum product but a bunch of rotten little planktons, you know? If you think about it.
Dang. When you think about it.
If you really think about it.
I don't know where we're gonna go from here, though, because I don't know how you jump from
hot sauce,
a lost film, to food items.
So hot sauce,
condiments.
Well, I mean, the thing that we can always do is try to get to places and try to get to the cuisines of those places.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, like, America's next to Mexico. And I bet there's some mention of hot sauce on. You know, whatever page there is about Mexican cuisine.
You think so?
I'm guessing.
I feel like hot sauce is maybe more like as a condiment you add to a dish.
Mm-hmm.
It might be more of an American thing, whereas maybe Mexican cuisine is spicy because of what they actually put in the dish.
Mm.
As in, like, they use spicy ingredients in a salsa.
Well.
In a nice salsa.
You know, Matt, salsa is Spanish for sauce, actually.
So I'm saying they're making their own spicy sauce.
Okay.
Not like a hot sauce, I guess.
Okay, it's a different thing.
I see. Okay. Yeah, no, you're right. No, you're right here.
Okay,
thank you. I'm a dummy.
So it's curious that American isn't. A link on this page.
Very curious.
Curious.
I think we should click Paramount Pictures because if anything, it'll probably say that it's an American studio.
Yeah. Unless it's not. I mean, what if it's just not?
It definitely is.
Okay.
Definitely Paramount Pictures. Yeah, step two, Paramount Pictures.
Oh, joke's on you. It's an English company.
That's wrong. You're lying. That's a bit that Caitlin's doing. Wasn't very funny, if you ask me. Giving our listeners false information, you're manipulating their emotions.
Yeah, we're all about the facts, basically. Well, here's some shit.
Again, American, not a link. Kind of bullshit.
Not a link. Hollywood is a link. That's a place in America.
California as well. Yeah.
California.
Oh, it's just a link to Hollywood, California.
Hollywood, California. Not going to help. Okay, no. United States is not a link. And United States versus Paramount Pictures, Inc.
What's this about? Pre-selling. The practice of collecting upfront money for films not yet in production.
Wow. Hmm.
I mean, don't you gotta do that?
I don't totally know who they're collecting money from.
I think the people financing the film.
Yeah.
Is it saying like, hey, before you have any money to go make this picture,
go make the picture.
Send Joe out with a camera on the back lot.
Yeah.
See if you can fool one of the actors into showing up for day one of the shoot, and then...
Right. You just have to get day one rolling, and then you can get the money.
I mean, that's fair. How else are you supposed to know you're going to have a movie at the end of it, you know?
Until you get the actor to show up on the back lot, you don't know if it's going to happen.
Have you ever been on a tour of a movie studio, like a back lot, like a Universal Studios or Paramount or any of this stuff?
Only at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, which I don't think is the real thing.
Isn't that where they would film all the Nickelodeon stuff? Like, they had studios there.
I don't know. I mean, I was small, you know?
Wait, Universal? Because Nick is a Paramount thing, so maybe that doesn't make sense.
Nickelodeon, yeah, you're correct. That doesn't make sense. It says it right here, part of Paramount.
Darn it.
God darn it. Yeah.
So you were just at the theme park.
I was at the theme park and they have a ride there. And it's like, you know, I suspect it's not a fully authentic experience because there's a part where like you're in this sort of like train. It's like this, it sort of looks like a train made out of golf carts. There's this part where like you drive down by some like alligators, I think. And then the water starts to get really high and you have to like lift your feet up so your feet don't get wet. And there's some other excitement too in there. And I don't think that's what happens on real movie sets, but I
could
be wrong.
So the ride was billed as like a studio tour and then there was like some danger and excitement thrown in?
Yeah, basically is how I remember it.
Okay, yeah, that's definitely not how it goes down on movie sets, I think.
But what about like really, but Matt, what about like really good movies?
Like really, really good movies.
Like really, really, like the best movies that there are. Like Gladiator with,
one of the
Russell
best
Crow.
Movies of all time, Gladiator.
Yeah. Are you sure that none of that was like actually happening?
I want you to think back to an experience you and I shared working together to make a couple episodes of a short-lived college talk show called Go to Bed.
Yeah.
And how us chuckle fucks with basically no real body of knowledge and a couple camcorders and some audio equipment and so forth, you know, we're putting on this talk show. And even with that small amount of equipment, like no lights, no like lighting equipment and stuff, there were cables running every fucking which way across the ground.
That's so true.
It's so true. And the last thing you're going to want on your professional movie set were like, let's say conservative estimate here, 20 times as many cables running around the ground and in and out of power boxes and so forth. You're not going to, you're not going to have especially the part that goes through the tour.
Yeah.
No risk of rising water and alligators whatsoever. You're gonna eliminate that risk. So I'm going to say I think you saw an embellished experience.
Okay. Okay, that seems reasonable. But how do they film water movies then?
That's all CGI. It's always been CGI.
Okay. Got it.
What's the oldest water movie you can think of? What just came to mind for me was Free Willy, and I'll tell you, not even close to the ocean for any of those shots.
It's definitely fake. You can tell. I mean,
you can tell the CGI wasn't that good then.
Yeah, I was gonna say Waterworld.
Better CGI by a landslide.
Really, really big budget on that one.
But
so the water looked pretty real.
Here's how you would be able to tell, though.
Okay.
If you ever see a movie and say you've got a team of elite international hackers at sea, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that all hacking in movies is real.
Right.
They
right,
actually
yeah.
do that shit.
There's no way to fake that.
There's no way to fake that.
Right.
But you see, they're in a boat, quote unquote, on the ocean.
Yeah.
You check their IP address and it tells you, nope, they're on land. That water's fake.
Yeah, that's how you would know, isn't it?
That's how you would fucking know. Were we trying to get to hot sauce?
Mm-hmm. Should I click on Hollywood, California?
Let's get Hollywood, baby. Let's do it.
Ugh, love Hollywood. City of Angels, as they call it.
Glamourville.
Glamtown.
Glamtown, USA. My dude.
Abville.
Hang loose.
Hang loose, my brother.
I just wrote California with two L's because that's how loose I'm playing it tonight.
Yeah, you got to really, you know, like, just really relax. Right in the, you need a break sometimes, I think, in the middle of a word.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, California, you know?
I was writing it like Phantom Planet pronounces it.
Right, yeah.
You got to extend that L. Mm-hmm. Got to put another one in there.
You could should maybe throw some more other extra letters in there as well.
If it's Phantom Planet, you definitely, definitely could. Boy, I haven't thought about the OC in a hot minute.
Mm.
Actually, that's...
It's a good TV show.
That's a lie. Who plays Marissa?
Hold on, give me a minute. I'm going to have this. Oh, I don't have it.
Oh,
never mind,
dear,
I don't
neither
have
of
it.
Us have it. She did a bad Snapchat.
She did a bad Snapchat?
Not a bad Snapchat, sorry. Misha Barton. She did a bad Instagram. I think she Instagrammed like a hot pic of herself, but then in the text was talking about like tragedies of police violence.
Oh, like, my golly.
Yeah. But it was like a picture of her on a boat, a real boat, on real, not CGI water.
Wow. Like, that must have been expensive.
Wearing a hot outfit. And then this just completely incongruous thought, like, pinned to it. Which does seem just kind of in poor taste.
I mean,
but you
Marissa
know, Matt, from the OC would do that, so.
Here's the thing, Matt. If you're not on Twitter, you know. Gotta put something up on it. You gotta put something in the picture field on Instagram. That's the thing about Instagram. What else are you gonna put there?
Just a sad picture of yourself, or or maybe a sad image prepared by one of your interns. It's just text on a field. No photo.
Or just like a. Like a sad face on a sticky note, maybe?
Maybe it's just an emoji. Maybe it would've...
It's just a photograph of a printed out crying emoji.
Or how does this float your boat? Tell me if you think this would sell the... And I don't wanna assume that Misha Barton was like not feeling these feelings or didn't mm-hmm. feel like she wanted to comment on the situation earnestly, mm-hmm. but would it have come across better if she had put the picture into Snapchat first mm-hmm. and then put a sad emoji and then kind of did the blow it up and moved it over her face? Would that really sell the sincere kind of political sentiment she was trying to get across, do you think?
Yeah, I think that would have done it.
Cool.
Definitely,
settled.
Yeah.
Here's a hot tip from Can You Get to That, Misha Barton. Here's how to show true emotion on the internet.
I have got a link for you, Matt.
Yeah.
Are you seeing this?
I'm seeing Nopal.
You ever eaten a Nopal?
Oh no, I haven't.
It's a cactus that people eat.
Is it spicy?
It's not, but it's eaten in Mexico and in Mexican cuisine.
Okay. Well, do you want to do step four, Nopal?
Yeah, I want to do Nopal.
Okay. have I seen this before? Have I seen Nopal? I've not eaten Nopal, I don't think.
Well, it's a pretty typical, like, here's some pictures of it. Like, it's a flat-looking cactus.
Looks like a cactus, all right.
Yeah.
Kind of the platonic ideal of a cactus, almost.
Oh, I think the saguaro is the platonic ideal of a cactus.
Okay, okay, cactus. Old Caitlin Cactus Best with your cactus opinions. Do you own a cactus? Do you have a cactus plant?
I do, yeah. I have a little baby cactus.
How's it faring?
It's doing great. I bought it because it reminded me of a Doug Trio.
Ah.
Because it had like a few little nodules sticking up.
Have you seen the super disturbing picture that a clever / deranged artist drew of what is underneath? I think it was a Doug Trio, not a Diglett, but what's down there under the dirt?
No. Do I want to know?
It's this long... I feel like it must have originated from Tumblr, because I remember there's this like classic Tumblr meme of... at first, it was just some kind of sincere, like, I just learned how to use Photoshop artsy bullshit of this really long image... like really tall. You'd have to scroll through it like 10 or 12 times to get through the whole image. So you'd have to scroll through this image all the way, and it would show you all the different colors of the sky in the artsy original version of the image. But then someone edited it so that the end, where it's like pitch black, the moon from Ocarina, is it Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask, where there's the big
Majora's Mask.
It's Majora's Mask, where there's this big fucking scary moon. They put that at the bottom. So there's that version, and then the Doug Trio image is similarly long, and it like it just morphs through like several different phases, like terrifying sort of different bodies, kind of Lovecraftian in the horror scope there, as you just continue to go further and further down.
Yeah.
And I just kind of love the idea.
Down the Diglett hole.
Yeah, I just kind of love the idea that even if it's just a brown tube the whole way, what if it's just really fucking long, though?
It's a brown tube the whole way.
Well, what else is a Diglett?
I think that's what it is. I think it's a brown tube.
The whole way.
The whole way down, yeah. That's right. And where does it stop? We don't know. We've never actually gotten to the end.
How does it fit in a Pokeball? We don't know.
We just don't know.
Okay, so Nopal.
Okay. We could go to a lot of different things. We could go to Mexican cuisine. We could go to tacos. We could go to New Mexican cuisine.
I think New Mexican cuisine might be a solid shot. Yeah.
Because they have those Christmas sauces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Step 5, New Mexican cuisine.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've had some huevos. Be nice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've eaten eggs. I eat eggs quite a lot.
You know what I mean. You know what I mean.
I'm just joshing you. Matt, did you know that New Mexico is the only state with an official question?
Dead ass, yes, I did, because I was
watching.
You did
know that?
And I knew it was red or green because have you ever watched the roll call for... a Democratic or Republican National Convention?
No.
The roll call is where all the delegates are like called on, or all the states and territories are called on one by one, and then a representative will tell you what they voted. Like it's, but it, because that's so largely, it's not necessary in this day and age to do that. It's an opportunity. It's like pomp and circumstance. They'll do a speech about their state. So like the thing for the Democratic National Convention was a lot of these states were coming forward and saying like, we were the first state to, you know, grant women the right to do X, or we were the first state to elect a woman as its governor or so forth. Mm-hmm. Sort of, you know, championing women in politics was kind of the theme of this one. But then they'll also tell you a bunch of random bullshit about their state, assuming that this is maybe the one time you're ever going to learn, you know, some kind of factoid.
Yeah,
about
Kansas facts.
Yeah, Kansas facts or Arkansas facts.
Yeah.
And New Mexico led with, you know, we're the only state to have an official state question, red or green. And then I think the person said, because the chili, which
I had
started,
to clarify.
because the joke being like red or blue versus,
right.
you know, Dems versus Republicans.
Right, Pokemon red or Pokemon blue is what everyone assumes.
Poke fever still gripping the nation. But then they followed it up with what was even better. What do you think the other notable thing that New Mexico had to say that was completely unrelated to its political history was?
Is that the hit TV series Breaking Bad takes place and was filmed there.
Egg fucking exactly. Hey.
Knew it.
Hey, we're the meth show state.
People love that show.
What? What you don't do that though. That's not your leading point.
The place that I was hoping that story was going to go, because I sort of, when you said they do a roll call and they all say how they voted, I was picturing them just going down the list, all business-like, like they would be like, Oregon, Hillary, Rhode Island, Bernie, whatever, right?
They make a big fucking deal out of it.
That's what I was picturing. And then I thought that you were going to say that when they got to New Mexico, because the thing doesn't really matter anymore, that instead of answering Bernie or Hillary, New Mexico answered, like, red. And then there was, like, a little blurb at the bottom of the screen that explained it's traditional for the New Mexican delegation to just answer red or green.
Wow, that'd be something else. I mean, the Breaking Bad shit got me good. It got me chuckling. It would have been even better if the secretary of the DNC who's doing the roll call, if she'd been like, New Mexico, how do you vote? And then New Mexico steps forward and goes, Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
Which in a way they did, because they did have some votes go Bernie and some votes go Hillary.
Right.
So a little bit of both, you know.
Democrat Christmas.
Democrat Christmas. It kind of, the convention kind of is Democrat Christmas in a way.
It is, yeah. For real, real politics junkies.
I'm so sick of politics junkies.
Can you believe that some people are that? Can you believe that that's some people's, like, thing?
That politics is their sports.
Yeah.
Even if they're also, sports is their sports.
Right, they can have two kinds of sports.
It's mind-boggling, because I don't understand having a relationship to knowing anything about politics, especially like international relations.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand having a relationship to that where if you know more than just a little bit, you're not just mad and despairing.
Like, so appalled. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand having a relationship to that where you look at it and you're like, this is fun. This is,
you're like, yes, I want more. Yes,
this
please.
Is cool stuff. I need to know all about it all the time and just kind of treat it as though it's a spectator sport.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I do like the TV show House of Cards.
Do you like the West Wing, though? Because I feel like the West Wing is the one that really sorts the politics junkies from the chaff.
I've never watched the West Wing.
Egg fucking exactly. And I don't think you'd like it. I don't know if you've dunked into the Aaron Sorkin oeuvre.
The thing about House of Cards is that people like it because it's so bad. Not because it's a bad show, but like, it's like, whoa, this president's bad.
But that's, you know, every president.
Okay, but have you watched the show?
I have not watched the show. He does a murder in the Oval Office, does he not?
He does at least one murder.
Yeah.
So
that's pretty bad.
That's bad.
But then you think about, you know, that's TV bad.
Yeah.
But then you think about just fucking pick any president in the age of the telephone or later who just, like, picked up a receiver and was like,
"Trans-Pacific partnership."
What's that?
You think about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, am I right?
Sounds like a bit of a politics junkie thing to say.
I'm sorry, we need to leave here. I found it. I found our place.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
But it's under salsa picante.
But it redirects, because that means the same thing.
Fair enough. Step six, hot sauce.
Matt, did you know that there are thousands of varieties of hot sauce?
I did, in fact, know that. Wow, we got there in not bad time. Six steps.
Yeah, what? Yeah. That's pretty good. What's our record?
Our record is something like four.
Yeah, it's like four.
If I recall. I was doing a visualization that may still trickle out to listeners of our year one stats. Maybe I'll extend it to these couple episodes into year two we're at. But I kind of looked at it when I was close to done, and I went, this doesn't look up to my quality standards, and then I just stopped working on it. kind of a thing I've noticed about myself. I'll get like 60-80% of the way in on on just like a little side project, you know, a curiosity, and I'll go,
yeah,
this isn't cool yet. And I just lose all motivation.
I was gonna say I do the same thing, but it's different. It's a different thing when I do.
What do you do?
I do this thing, and I do it habitually with video games, as well as with other things, where I start doing something and I'm really enjoying doing it, and then I kind of just get so. I guess I largely do it with books and video games, where I'm like, man, this thing is really great, and I don't really want to finish it because I don't want it to end. And so I just kind of try to stretch it out as long as possible. And it's like an asymptote, I guess. You know asymptotes?
I'm familiar with asymptotes.
Okay, I knew you would be. And I just sort of peter out, you know?
Yeah, what's a give me an example of something you did this with?
Oh,
like kind of paint a picture.
Every video game? Like Skyrim? I mean, with an Elder Scrolls game, it's so easy to do. Or with a Fallout game, so easy. Because you just start doing side quests, right?
Yeah.
And after you start doing side quests, you're not progressing in the game.
Yeah. You catch a whiff of like, oh, this sounds kind of climactic.
Yeah.
And then you just,
and then
you
you're
just
like,
give right up.
Better back off.
Like, your Liam Neeson dad in Fallout 3 says, hey, let's go to the... Is it the Jefferson?
He says, hey, we're about to fix the water.
He says...
I've almost fixed the water.
He says,
can tell.
And he says, hey, we're going to do the final mission now. Do you agree? And then you just have yes or no. And you pick no.
And that's actually too late. The game just ends. You pick no.
You pick no. I don't want to fix the water, Dad. Papa, I refuse to fix DC's water. There are too many political junkies here. Too many political junkies and super mutants. I don't want to fix the water, Papa.
Yeah. And then he just says, I'm extremely disappointed in you. And he walks away and you never see him again and you never get to finish the game.
But he says it in that Liam Neeson, that brogue.
Yeah.
Son? Well, did you play as... I
played as
too
a
much.
Female character.
So
should I say child?
Child? I never want to see you again. So I never will. I have a very particular set of skills.
Mm-hmm.
First among them, walking. And I'm going to turn around and walk away from you and never come back. Roll credits.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the Fallout 3 ending you got?
Yeah.
But that's not asymptotic, though, if you hit no.
Right, well, that was a special case.
That was a special case. What you're describing, though, is like, you saw, spoilers for The Last of Us, you saw the giraffes.
Did I tell you that happened to me?
You saw the giraffes, you started crying, and then you're like, I'm not going to play this for another 6 months.
Oh, that's right, yeah. God, they're so beautiful. Matt, they're so beautiful.
It's a really touching moment, but you were like, uh-oh, I feel like I feel like I've already been around the climax of the game, and now yeah. I see these fucking giraffes. I could walk through the next door, and it's done. And you're like, yeah, nuh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish that game had ended there.
With the giraffes?
That would have been a spicy, hot Frank's red sauce.
Ending.
Red hot sauce ending, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been different, that's for sure.
It would have been a lot different. But I don't wish it would have ended there, because it wouldn't have really driven home the point that the main character is a scumbag.
Man, you're really down on Joel, huh?
I think he's a bad man. We could do an episode about Last of Us, and I'll just go on about what a bad man he is.
I mean, I would agree that he's basically a bad man, but I think we had this discussion before, and I don't necessarily agree that the ending demonstrates the most clearly that he's a bad man.
He shoots that woman.
Right, he shot a lot of people. I mean, it didn't start there. The shooting didn't start there.
It didn't start there, but it didn't have to go to that point either. The last level of that game, past the pretty giraffes and the crying, the thing that you waited 6 months to complete, is just a fucking rampage through a hospital. Like, it's bad.
It's pretty messed up. The mechanics of the game actually totally changed. It turns into a GTA game at that point.
Yeah.
Which was a little surprising to me.
You're like, I didn't notice the 5 stars in the upper right-hand corner of the screen before. And it's like, they weren't there. Like,
have those been there the whole time? No, they haven't.
Has there always been this sophomoric, like, parody of political news radio?
Right. Has there always been dick jokes in every advertisement?
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
I thought it was just it was just Ellie making the dick jokes before, and she's gone now.
I hadn't noticed that.
We're back on the subject of Ellie, aka Ellen Page.
AKA Ellen Page. Right. There you go. That's fucking evidence, Matt.
It's not okay. Anyway, we're looking at some hot sauces, but I don't really have too much to say other than aardvark sauce is the best one, period.
It's a good sauce. I've never had... Okay, so let me tell you. You know about Cheeky Nando's, right?
Mate. Bruv, I love me some Nando's.
Bruv, it's like...
If there's one thing I love more than top-quality bands, it's some fucking Cheeky Nando's.
Right, it's like nothing... Mate, nothing fucking goes better with top bands than Nando's. You know what I'm saying?
It's a fucking legendary combo, ain't it?
It's a match made in fucking lad heaven.
Just me and the lads having some bants and some Nando's. Fucking ledge.
Ugh. Fucking just end it for me now if that's where I get to go.
Shoot me in the head and send me to the fluffy clouds up above, bro.
Listen, Matt. I'm going to visit my brother in Chicago next week.
Okay.
And do you know what they have in Chicago?
They don't,
do you know what they have over
they
there?
They don't fucking have Nando's in Chicago. Are you shitting me?
They've got a fucking Cheeky Nando's, haven't they?
But that's got to be a different vibe entirely, though. It can't be the same vibe.
It might not be cheeky, exactly. It might be, like, pushy.
It's got to be a... damn. I don't know if this is about to be more embarrassing than any British accent I've ever done. I'm going to try to do what I think Chicago sounds like.
Okay, I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Because it's not, hey, I'm walking here. That's New York.
That's different, yes.
Yeah. And I know that because people say that to me every day now.
I can do a Chicago accent. I have to get warmed up, though. Do you know what I have to say to get warmed up?
I don't even want to try. I want to hear you do it. But what do you have to say?
Well, this is what I have to say to get warmed up in the Chicago accent. Matt... You can't put ketchup in a Chicago-style hot dog.
Oh, is...
Did you know that?
Oh, is this Chicago?
This is Chicago.
Oh, this is Chicago now.
We're in Chicago, and you can't put ketchup in a Chicago-style hot dog. It's just not done.
You don't do it.
But you know what you do have in Chicago? It's a Nando's with the piri-piri sauce.
Now, tell me this, Caitlin Best. Is Chicago the home of the Cubs? Am I correct?
Yeah, you're right.
It's the Cubs.
Cubs.
I just got, but or as we call them here in Chicago, the Cubbies.
The Cubbies, yeah. The Cubbies are gunning for the pennant this year, let me tell you.
So me and the bros were at the Cubbies game, and we worked up a mighty hunger. We worked up a mighty hunger at the Cubbies game, and we were like, you know what? We're gonna go get some fucking raucous Nandos. We're gonna go cause a ruckus at the Nandos and get some raucous Nandos with me and my bros after the Cubbies game.
Nothing like it for when you're having a chat, a good chat with your bros.
You just chat with the bros and causing a fucking ruckus with your raucous Nandos. Fuck yeah. Now it's turning into a fucking Peter Griffin.
It's slipping a little bit.
Lois, I want some Nandos. It's been slipping.
You don't have to do your Peter Griffin. I'm not going to ask you for that.
I don't want to do it. I'm going to cut it off there.
Anyway, I brought up the Nandos because Piri Piri is the popular chili sauce in Portugal.
Mm.
I just read that.
And that is the Nandos sauce.
That's the Nandos sauce.
Damn. Well, you're going to have to give us a fucking Nandos trip report, aren't you?
Oh, my God. We can record an episode with me in Nandos if you want to do that.
I think that would be fucking ledge.
Legendary, right?
God, we wasted all of our time talking about video games and Nandos. And
it's okay. I had a great time. We had a great conversation.
Could have done a second run here, I feel like.
It's okay.
Do we have any other closing thoughts on hot sauce?
I'm just scrolling through these sauces.
Have you ever had a super hot, like, they rate it for you on the Scoville scale hot sauce?
You know, I've sampled a little bit of one somewhere. Yeah, I don't really recall having done that in particular.
I feel like one time I tried either at the wing place in my hometown of Kirkland, mm-hmm. Washington, mm-hmm. or which I believe is called the Wing Dome.
Yeah.
It's kind of a clever play on the old stadium we used to have before we fucking imploded it, which was the most...
They imploded it.
Badass shit ever.
I was in the fifth grade when that happened. Fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly fourth grade. I remember this very clearly. This guy I went to elementary school with, Asa Clifford, like, his parents, they went on a road trip to go watch the King Dome get blown up.
Yeah, it's a fucking good reason to go on a road trip.
Did you watch it?
Watch it on TV, yeah.
Okay.
That's what, like a 4.5 hour drive from Eugene, maybe?
More than that. It's 2 hours. It's a 5 hour drive. Five plus with traffic.
Are you telling me you wouldn't drive 5 hours to go see the implosion of a fucking sports stadium? Because I'll tell you, it was, look it up on YouTube. It was spectacular on YouTube.
Yeah. Was that where the Seahawks used to play?
That was the Mariners stadium. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so implosion aside, it was either there or at the Wing Dome or in Portland at Fire on the Mountain, where I feel like I tried the second hottest wing.
Because
every wing place has
like a challenge.
Yeah, they have to have their challenge wing. They have to have something called like the fucking El Diablo or
El Jefe.
Yeah, something like that. So El Jefe is the Fire on the Mountain wing. Or like maybe they'll try to intimidate you more. They'll call it something like the
like don't eat this.
They'll just call it don't eat this.
Yeah.
the name itself being a challenge and at that point. Or like the intestine reaper or something. Like,
yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, I feel like some places will go a little bit more metal with it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to fucking try that, but I feel like I tried the second hottest and still had a rough time.
Yeah.
Which I'm just real weak. I'm just a weak boy.
That's one of those things. Those El Jefe wings, I have to say, are one of those things that are just all hot, no flavor. You can't even taste the chicken under there. It's just burn. It just, your mouth just tastes like burning.
Yeah. Like, when I go to wings, I want to eat a lot of food and savor that food. And it's savor the bad thing I'm doing to my body.
Right.
Not just,
but
I want the punishment to come later.
You know, the thing about chicken wings is it's like, there's really like three elements to it, right? There's like, it has like a good flavor, ideally, and it's hot, which feels good. It gets those endorphins flowing in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And you just get the visceral pleasure of like slurping this stuff up. And, just being covered in this sauce.
Getting that hot sauce all over your
sticky
face.
All in your nooks and crannies.
I saw this video recently on Twitter, and maybe this will be my closing point on hot sauce and wings, of this dude. His name is John Vignacchi. He's a bit of a video games celebrity. He used to be like the head guy on like the Disney Infinity game, and then they shelved that. But he has a long storied history. And he was doing a like a 50 wing challenge, and he he showed off his wing eating technique. And I expected it to be a dumb video, and I walked away from the video with my mind fucking blown by his technique. Because what he does is he takes, it's especially like the proper wings, you know, where the bone is kind of like, there's the two parts to the bone.
Right. Well, so, I mean, just to be clear, it's just like your arm. It's a homologous structure.
Exactly. Right? That structure.
Yeah.
That arm structure. So, yeah. So especially
the forearm. The forearm part.
Yeah. So especially with those wings, not the single bone wings. What you do is you stand it up on one end, and you grip the little nub at one end that's facing the top of the, or like in your hand at the top of the wing, and then you just push down into the plate. And what will happen is, like magic, all of the meat will then like kind of like, it'll like a blooming onion. It'll like split.
Just sloughs off.
It'll slough off, leaving the bone completely free of any meat. And then you just bring it up while it's still attached to the other like end, to the other nub. And then you just bite all that off in one big bite. And then completely clean bone. You're done. Wing over. Do it again. God. Stand the wing up. Push down. Put it in your mouth. Slurp it off. Done. Give me another. I was like, he was like a fucking machine. It was so precise and so clean.
Oh my God.
I really want wings now. Damn it, Caitlin. I don't know where to get wings in Williamsburg.
That made me want, that thing you just said to me made me want wings way less.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe it was because I introduced the phrase sloughs off.
Yeah, it's not a great phrase to associate with food or flesh of any kind, cooked or otherwise.
My actual closing thought is this. I just learned this from this Wikipedia article. I feel like this is really insightful.
Yeah.
It says, the hottest hot sauce scientifically possible is one rated at 16 million Scoville units, which is pure capsaicin.
Yeah. Undiluted capsaicin. Which I believe that's basically a chemical weapon, is it not?
It's got it. Yeah, that's like bear spray.
Yeah,
it's, I just not love good. That like, that's like saying that the highest proof liquor scientifically possible is 200 proof, which is pure alcohol.
Yeah, but then you see this, like an example of a hot sauce marketed as achieving this level of heat is Blair's 16 million reserve.
Yeah,
which is fucking crazy. Like,
due to production variances, it is actually up to 16 million Scoville units.
Up to, right. But the fact that the hot sauce arms race is just like, yep, let's push it. Pure capsaicin, baby.
Yeah.
It's just that in a bottle at that point.
It's just clear liquid. That's just a clear liquid, right?
I think so. I think it doesn't. Yeah. I think it's colorless.
Or maybe it has a faint red glow.
Like how 200 proof alcohol, I assume, is...
is colorless.
Is colorless, yeah. But isn't that... What proof is ever clear?
It's close to that. It's more or less pure alcohol.
That shit is gross.
Yeah, it's not good to drink.
Closing point on high proof alcohol. One time, gross. A notorious bad boy showed up to a Reed College party with a fucking handle of Everclear. And it was the only time I was at a party at Reed where... Mm-hmm. Within 5 minutes of the person arriving, and he like wasn't drunk when he got there, but within five minutes the situation had elevated to, can we take that away from him and also get him as far away from this party as possible, just out of the fucking country at this point.
Yeah,
bad shit. Do not like.
It's that bad sauce. That's what they call it.
Yeah. en.wikipedia.org/wiki/bad_sauce. I am Matthew Olson. You can follow me on Twitter. It's at Matthew Olson. Spell it right. You can follow the show on Twitter. It's at Get to That. I've been posting little video previews and things there, and hopefully we'll get another longer video out there sometime in the coming weeks. I tried illustrating droid soccer, and I talked about that on the show, and it proved to be really difficult. So it's kind of my white whale at this point, is finishing up that droid soccer video. But you'll probably see some other stuff.
Were you trying to actually draw a bunch of droids?
I was trying to get some motion in there, yeah. Just a little bit of visual flair, and it just looked kind of bad. It's another example of those projects that I get like 60 to 80% done, and then I'm like, nope. So that's my piece.
I've been Caitlin Best. You can find me on Twitter at bestkabest, bestkabest. You can use the hashtag CYGTT. No one does, but you can.
LeVar Burton did. I'm never going to let that go.
That's true. We have to remember that. You can find the show on Facebook at facebook.com/CYGTT. Give us a like, you know? Hit us with a review. I'd also like to give a shout out to our two newest followers, Samir Udala Khan and AJ Falari.
What up?
What's up, guys?
How's it going?
Send us some topic suggestions if you're those people, you know?
I think it's appropriate to tip our hats here and say we know Samir, and I would love to see what Samir could throw at us for a topic.
We would love a topic from Samir.
The AJ new follower who we don't know, fucking surprise us, make us work for it.
Yeah. Or not. Give it. You could lob us a softball too. That'd be fine.
Yeah, we could give us one that we could do like easy, like five times in one show.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
All right. Yeah, that's all I got right now.
I got something for you.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's kind of bothering me. It's been on my mind of late, you know.
Yeah
Caitlin, what if technology bad though?